Welcome to Real Money with Lisa Chastain. Over the next hour, you will hear from leading industry experts how to establish financial confidence and freedom. Her guests will motivate and inspire you to make those financial decisions that you have been thinking about for weeks and maybe even years. Now, here's your host, Lisa Chastain.
Yay!
Go ahead. Bam, 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 bam. Why are you guys dancing?
We're dancing because it's the show song.
Luke, stop. I'm your father. Thank you for calling Movie Phone.
Okay. Right. So this is, hi, everyone. Hi. Happy hi. Monday. This is my husband, Jimmy.
What's up?
He's been waiting to do that since he knew I had a show.
Yep.
Yeah. Did you get it all out of your system, babe?
No, no, probably not.
Probably not.
A lot more in
no.
there.
Okay. Look at me. We're... I love you, babe.
I love you too.
Okay. Well, for those of you who are new to the show, I'm so grateful you're listening. I'm your host, Lisa Chastain. This is my show, Real Money. And we have a special guest in the studio, James Earl Lopez.
Why you gotta put it all out there? This is weird, like looking eye to eye talking like this.
Yeah.
Like with microphones.
Yeah.
This is I can't look at you. I got to look over your shoulder.
You have to look at me. It's weird that you don't look at me.
No.
Okay. All right. So tomorrow is Valentine's Day.
Wait, what?
Yeah. I know. Tomorrow is Valentine's Day. So I thought this would be the perfect time for us to come on and profess our love to one another. Did you prepare that?
Oh, you know what? It's something that you're not ready for. There.
Okay. Oh, I can't open it on the show. They can't hear us. They can't see it. I'll open it after the show.
Why?
Let's dig in for our listeners.
Okay.
Because it's going to be boring for them to hear me. Open this.
All right.
Okay. I'm going to talk and open it
because
I cannot. So for those of you who are listening on the show right now, I'm opening. They can probably hear that. Jimmy brought me a Valentine's Day gift. You're so sneaky. How did you get that in here without me seeing it?
That's the part being married to a lady that.
He forgot his water. Yeah.
But I got to sneak everything in. You watch everything on the account.
So I
do. Hard to buy stuff.
So you can see this on YouTube. You can actually go back and re-listen to or watch the show on YouTube. We'll have it up soon. I love that, babe.
And then you scan that with our phone and it's our wedding song.
Oh my gosh. You're so thoughtful.
Yeah, yeah.
Happy Valentine's
Day.
Happy
Valentine's Day.
Okay, Ashley, you can take this out of the picture. I'm sure Ryan wants out of the picture. So we're going to talk about us. We're going to talk about us on the show. Okay? You ready?
Uh-huh.
He is ready. He is ready. Jimmy and I got married 4 years ago. It'll be 4 years ago in a month.
Mm-hmm.
Can you believe it's been 4 years already?
No.
I can't either.
But you got the COVID years in there too. So
that's
like
true.
All big, one big
it
long
was,
year.
So. It's actually been a hell of a 4 years.
Yeah.
It's been a really rocky, crazy 4 years. Not rocky like from our perspective,
no.
But just how I think God's been testing us. And there's a lot, we have a lot of listeners that like in our community, people who are fans of the show, also just people who love us who are listening to the show. So in talking about money, which is a taboo topic, and we get a lot of couples in my company who come and talk to us about money. And a lot of them will say that the only thing that they fight about is money, that they, you know, feel like they have a good relationship, but then money comes into the picture and you and I don't really fight about money.
No. Because you control the money and I don't have it.
If you don't already love Jimmy, I don't know. So in true real money form, what I want the listeners to do is spend a little time getting to know you. They've heard a lot from me.
Okay.
And you're my better half. And mm-hmm. my life, my world doesn't work without you.
Mine doesn't either, baby.
Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit about how you were brought up and your life with money and your relationship with money. We don't get a lot of, you're our first guy on the show, actually.
That's
so
great.
It's usually women sharing. And it's so powerful, though. What I'm so excited for are people to hear that they're not alone and for men to hear that they're not alone.
Okay.
And one of the reasons I adore you and that I married you is that you're open and you talk about things mm-hmm. and you're vulnerable. So let's take a walk back into Old Town Henderson. You were born in Henderson, right?
Yeah, born in Henderson and kind of raised between Henderson and Vegas back and forth.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And what was life like for you growing up? Was it like a middle class family?
Yeah, we're pretty much middle class. My dad was a Teamster, so he was like a truck driver by trade. My mom always worked for General Electric that I remember, like in their parts counters here in town. My dad would be, you know, laid off sometimes and working sometimes. So I never really had like money, like they never talked about money, like for doing okay or whatever. I didn't know nothing about it. So
Did they ever fight about money? Did you ever hear him fighting about money?
No, but my dad was an alcoholic and stuff. So, I mean, they fought, but man, it was just, they fought to fight. Mm. Or he fought to fight, I think, more than anything.
Did you and Joey ever know that, like, your parents, like, did you ever think that, like, you couldn't do something because of money growing up? Was it ever, because guys and girls are different the way that we internalize stuff. And I'm just curious, like, what was your experience of money growing up?
I mean, we never really did, like, vacations. I mean, a couple times, like, we went to Disneyland or something like that. But our vacation was always going back to New Mexico and seeing the family, or going to California to see my mom's family. So there's never, like, we went on a trip that I remember. Other than once, I think we left New Mexico early just to do a road trip on the way home because I think something was happening with the family there. Like, my mom was just tired of all the bull ass and the antics or whatever. But no, I remember one time with Wendy, we were going to Wet n' Wild here in town. And Wet n' Wild was cool.
Back on Sahara. Awesome back in
the day. Yeah. Like, my mom gave me this money to go for me and my brother. We're going to go to Wet n' Wild or whatever for the day. So we stopped at the 7-Eleven. And I must have left all that money on the counter. And so we get to the Wet n' Wild, and she's like, okay, you got your money? I'm like, oh, no, I couldn't find my money. And, I mean, she was mad or whatever, but then all of a sudden, like, I think we can't remember if we went to a bank or whatever, she got more money out, and she's pulled it out. And I don't know, looking back, like, that could have been, like, a lot of money to them. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. I mean, it just sucks, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Right. We learn these things as we're kids.
Yeah.
And you've been working since you can remember. Like, I know you're a hardworking guy. You work all the time.
Yeah, I love working.
I know you do.
Yeah.
How long have you been working? When did you start working?
Crap, I was always working. I always helped my dad and stuff. He'd take me to work with him. As long as I can remember. I mean, like 13, I think probably. And then actually get paid. The second I get a job, like legally get a job, I went to start working.
What was your first job?
Go-kart track on Boulder Highway.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, competition Grand Prix.
I didn't know there was a Grand Prix on Boulder Highway. Yep. So Jimmy and I grew up in different sides of the city. I grew up in North Las Vegas area, and he grew up in Henderson, which at that time were like worlds apart.
Yes.
They still are in a lot of ways. So you started making your own money. Did you ever learn? Did anybody ever teach you? I mean, your mom's pretty sensible. She's pretty good with money.
Yes.
Did she teach you how to manage money?
No. I don't think so, no.
Where did you
I've learn? Never been good at it. So
where did you learn?
My mom helped me.
In what way? Like, did she open a checking account for you and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, we did that stuff, but she's always been the one that, like, hey, it might be time to refinance your house kind of thing. The interest rates are good. She's always done my taxes and stuff for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't have to do none of that stuff. So
yeah,
she's just always done it.
One thing that we'll talk about how we met and all the things, I guess I'll come back to this, but one of the things that I noticed about you when we started dating was that you are very stable. So even though you say you're not good at money, with money, you always provided.
Yes.
You've had your house for years,
yes,
like our house now, but.
Really? We had this conversation last night.
What? We did?
Yeah, remember, I gave the garage, but there's a bunch of junk in the garage. Remember this conversation we had last night?
No, I don't.
Oh, mm-hmm. Funny how that works. The real Chastain, Lisa Chastain.
Yeah. So you didn't know a lot, but you still are a very stable man.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was your motivation to be stable, become stable, have your shit together?
I've always made good money. So being in construction, I've been at the same company almost 28 years, I think. I always made decent money. And so, man, I bought my first house when I was 23. Then I got the house I'm in now when I was like 27, 26.
Mm-hmm.
Just always worked hard. Always, you know, worked hard and had, you know, made good money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Can we talk about your career journey?
Sure.
Because I love the company that you're with.
Yes.
They're like family.
Yes.
Really, in so many ways.
Yes.
And that was another thing that I was like, man, this guy's like been at the same company for a long time. He's like family. Like when we started dating, I was really paying attention to the people you were hanging out with. And our listeners know I don't have a great background history story with like stable men. So I was really looking for that in like who I wanted to spend my life with. And
well, thank you for calling me stable.
You are.
Oh, all right.
You don't think you are?
I'm just playing with you.
Women know what I'm talking about. No. It's really nice. It's really refreshing. Kudos to you.
Thank you.
Seriously. Yeah. Where was I going with that? So you started working at the racetrack. Did you work through high school?
Yes. Worked all through high school. I went to vocational school for culinary arts. And right in high school, I started working at a place that was in town called the Country Inn as a cook.
Oh, which Country Inn did you work for?
The one that was at Henderson that was off of like by the Sunset and Sunset with the tee off right there by Ethelums.
Yeah.
There. And then from there, I went to Samstown. And then I got a job at the Mirage as a cook. And then I was working at Mirage and Samstown at the same time. And Samstown found out that I was working at the Mirage. They called it a conflict of interest. And if everybody remembers back in the day when Samstown, when Mirage first came, it was like the creme de la creme. So there's really no, from Samstown to Mirage, there's a big gap in like hotel industries, but they called it a conflict of interest. So I got fired. It's the only job I ever got fired from.
From Samstown?
Yeah. And then went to the Mirage, started cooking, loved it. Did worked in a bunch of the rooms. Different restaurants, killed it, nailed it. And then my dad said he'd get me a job making construction when for $16 an hour at the time. I remember $16.77 an hour. I was making $12 an hour as a cook.
Mm-hmm.
And so I threw my letter, you know, resigned and all that. And when I quit, the chef told me, he goes, the executive chef at the time, he goes, Jimmy, the only reason you don't have your own restaurant is because I can't give you the keys to the alcohol.
Because you're not 21.
Yeah, because I'm not 21 years old. Mm-hmm. So, and then I started my journey in construction.
Did you start at Wells Cargo? You were like, what, 17, 18?
Yeah, I was 18, 18 and a half, I think, like 18, 19 or whatever. I'd have to ask Sherry. She knows this at the office. I don't know. Started as a labor at the company doing labor stuff, doing underground piping. Underground utilities, grading. Literally, we pretty much built a lot of Summerlin back in the day. We'd start up a job and not a lot of people look at construction on this radio. I don't think so. But so I go set up the survey stakes and then all the big equipment come in. Then we do that, dig all the ditches, put all the piping in. Then we do the finish grade and I'm guinea hop for the grades, the blades, telling them what to do, how deep to cut and stuff. And then we'd pave it. Then we come back and like hike up all the manholes and stuff like that and just move on to the next job, the next job, the next job. And then I got the opportunity to get into the operating engineers. Local 12 that's here in Vegas is for the heavy equipment operators for the same company running a crusher that made a type 2 and sand. It's like an aggregate for construction.
Mm-hmm.
Did that, got into the production side. And when it was slow, I bounced between our weld shop, the company, and crushing and out in the job and stuff like that out in the field. Ran dirt spreads for a little bit.
This is all like foreign to me.
Yeah. it's foreign probably to a lot of people on here, but yeah, I ran dirt spreads for a little bit. When I got it, and then I became a foreman over that crusher, and I was the youngest foreman at the company.
Mm-hmm.
I was like 21, 21 and a half. And then I was not only the youngest foreman at the company, I was the youngest foreman in the union at that time.
That says a lot about you.
Yeah. I just like to work.
Lead, follow,
yeah.
Get out of the way, right?
You're going to get yourself hurt, yeah.
Or you're going to get yourself hurt. Yeah, Jimmy, you're a take charge kind of guy.
Yes.
Yeah. So you've always worked... like that was like even cooking. You're very like hands-on kind of person. Yeah. And some of you may not know this about Jimmy, but he's actually, you're a welder too.
Yes.
And he makes beautiful stuff. Like there, we've got furniture in our house that he's made and always working with his hands. And I love that about you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. So you've been with Wells Cargo for a long time. And through all of that, like you made, in construction in general in Vegas, you make really good money.
Yes.
Making overtime, all of that. But you didn't have range until your 30s.
Yes.
So what was your 20s like?
Whew. Do you really want to get on this show? No, it was fun. I look back at my 20s. I had a blast. I mean, I was bouncing in clubs too on the weekends. And a lot of that was taking care of my dad. My dad got sick, you know, paying off his medical bills and stuff. But I was bouncing. I mean, it was fun. I loved it.
Yeah.
It was a fun town back then.
Vegas, for those of you who are not in Vegas, we have a lot of listeners who are around the world. Vegas is a very country roots, blue collar country roots. And when you say bouncing, you were bouncing for clubs, like you were doing security.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I was being a security at the nightclub. So back in the day, we had the beach. It was one of the biggest
clubs. The beach.
It's now gone.
Yeah.
And then, just working the club scene for a little bit. Taking money from people, hustling them.
What does that mean? Oh, like at the door?
Oh, yeah. Like a lot of times they come in, they have like a fake ID. And depending on the club you worked at, either you take the ID or you keep the ID or you give it back to them kind of thing.
Yeah.
So if the club want us to take them, we take it from them, put them in our pocket and say, well, you want to buy it back? And I'm like, yeah, how much? Okay, give me $50. Mm-hmm. Then they give you $50, give them back their ID. They're like, can I come in now? They're like, no, get out of here. Yeah.
You gotta know how to play the game, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's fun. Okay. So 20s were pretty wild. How old were you when you met Briar?
I was 7 years older than her. So she was 18. So what is that? I was 25, 26.
25, 26. Yeah. Okay. So Jimmy and I we both met each other after we went through our divorces. So I was about a year out of my divorce. You were a couple years out of your divorce, I think, or 3 years out of your divorce.
Are you talking choice or when we met?
When we met to date.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. But we met in 2014.
Yes.
No, 2014, technically.
Oh, I'm not good.
Because you picked up my best friend from my house for a date and I was still married at the time.
Okay.
Ooh, Cashley's in the studio listening to this. So a lot of you don't know this story, but, so in 2014, Jimmy and I both went through a personal development program at different times, different classes. But in 2015, it was Valentine's 2015, where you went through relationships with Sylvia. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Sylvia. I love you. Mm-hmm. And I was
still
going.
Not good.
You're still not.
No, still not good.
There's a whole nother story in that. If you want to hear it, we'll share it later. You're not gay.
Yeah.
Definitely not.
No.
So we had gone through a relationships class together. It's a weekend class about relationships and understanding love, understanding ourselves with love, healing ourselves, all the things you had gone through your divorce with Briar. And I was on the verge of divorce. I was really trying to figure things out, but I didn't go to the relationships class with my ex-husband and you didn't go with Briar. So we were there by ourselves.
I thought he was there.
He wasn't.
Okay.
It was just me. And we ended up in a group. On Sunday, they put us in groups to do. Yeah. So you want to tell the story?
Well, we're in groups and the girls had to change into sheets or something like that.
Yeah. It's like a weird story, but we were doing a skit.
Yes.
Okay.
And I just remember Lisa taking off her shirt, Jude standing there in her bra. And I'm just like, blah, 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 blah. She had these highlights and everything in her. She looked adorable. So I always kind of crushed on after that point.
Yeah. And I didn't know that.
No.
My first I do remember you somewhat in that class, but you weren't a front runner in the class.
If
there were other people that were taking the lead. But I do remember you in that class and that small group experience. But my first real experience of you was at one of the nights where we all get together and we do some really cool things. And you were like chewing everybody out. You're like yelling at everybody in the room. I was like, wow, who's this guy? He seems really bossy.
I always like to stay in the back. Like I don't never want to be the center of attention until it's time to be the center of attention.
Yeah.
It's like, there's a time to just sit back and shut up and you don't always have to be a chief. You know, you got to be an Indian, but then there's times that you just go, okay, this is stupid. People are stupid. So let's just man up, get it figured out, get it straightened out. And
that's right.
Let's go on the next thing.
You control the chaos.
Yes.
So we hung out there a little bit. And then I didn't really know your relationship status. I didn't know a whole lot about you. I didn't know anything about Briar. I didn't know that you had range. Nothing. And so fast forward to 2017, 2018, I'm going through there was a stint. I was a relationship coach and you came to my event, which is so funny.
Oh, that's right.
Love frog kissing.
Yeah.
And here comes Jimmy. I was like, oh, how sweet. And I was,
I was being supportive of your group.
I don't know if you were there, Ashley. She was asking if she was there. So Jimmy was there.
I don't remember if Ashley was there.
And what come to find out, you were like there to support me.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to. Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of.
Yeah.
quote unquote,
yeah,
support. Yeah.
Giver.
So the ulterior motive presents itself. But then when we reconnected actually at church.
Yes.
So in 2018, I started going to Central and you were at Central. And for me, that was like, oh, like, hey, how are you?
It was Easter.
Like Easter.
You were there with Connor for a minute.
I was there with Connor. And what happened after that? Oh, I remember. I was in a situation where I had to move.
Yes.
So everyone's heard my story on the show. And through the divorce, I had to move a couple of times. And I had this guy in my life who was like a rebound who destroyed my condo. And I had to move like overnight to get out from under that situation. And you were I remember this so vividly. I was in my bedroom on the floor and I was like praying because I was so stuck. Mm. I didn't know what I was going to do. And it was so clear to me in my head that it would say, I think it was God that said, call Jimmy.
Hmm. No.
And then there I did. I text you and you were like, jumped in to help me and figure it out. And then I remember you kept checking on me, like kept texting me. And like one morning you invited me to breakfast.
Yep, trying to
land
the hook.
Like, wait a minute. and then it like, duh. So Amanda Dvorsky and I and you were friends. Mm-hmm. You know, you were friends with AJ and I'm friends with her. And separately, I had called her and I said, hey, what do you think about Jimmy? And you did the same thing.
Or I can't remember that.
Maybe she was like trying to like plant the seed or whatever.
Yeah, I think she was eavesdropping. That's how that would be. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she was watching both of us.
Love you to death, kiddo.
Love you. So yeah, here we are. So we started dating. Yeah.
Don't forget about, we did the Habitat for Humanity thing. We built the house, remember?
Do you want to tell that story?
I don't really remember the story. I just remember you were there and I was showing you like you and all the girls that kind of like used the nail gun and stuff like mm-hmm. that. So you're all freaking out and kind of, there's pictures on my phone somewhere.
Yeah.
But we signed the blueprints for it and you signed your name right next to mine or I signed my name right next to yours, not knowing of it. Mm-hmm. And Guy, the owner of the company, sent, because it's up at the plaque in our office.
Yeah.
He sent me a picture of our names next to each other.
And that was in 2014.
That was years down the road. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All along, what I've grown tremendously in my faith since starting my journey back at Central and getting baptized and everything, but really growing my faith with you and seeing all the ways that God was leading me to you. And it like makes mm-hmm. me feel emotional thinking about it. And like, yeah. I'm so grateful.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
No, for whatever, as much as my divorce sucked and, you know, I can speak for myself, it was horrible. I hated it. I hated to go through it, but I had to go through that pain to get to you. Mm-hmm. And so I know God put me through those chaotic times, but now it comes with the calmness of having you in my life. So it's well worth it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I think even though I'm a money coach, we work with people a lot on relationships. And what I'm really excited about for having you on the show is that other couples can hear, or other single people can hear that like a journey to the right person is not linear. It's not like a straight line. Like you meet them, right? Like,
oh no, hell no.
And for whatever reason, we had to be on our journey to get to each other. But also like I had to be willing to like pay attention to the signs and like listen, where I can be pretty stubborn.
Can you say that again?
I can be pretty stubborn.
One more time, please.
We
can keep this recording, right?
It's recording. It's
okay.
Recording.
All right.
Yes, I'm admitting on live radio that I can be stubborn.
You are not stubborn, baby.
Yeah, I am. But I'm glad that I listened this time.
Me too.
And here's the thing. So here's my learning, and then we're going to switch to money. We actually are almost to the second half of the show already, if you can believe it. It's flown by. What I've learned is that, wait, what was I going to say? Oh, about relationships? Mm. Oh, remember how I was interviewing you when we first started?
Oh, yeah. You'd ask questions after questions after questions after questions. I'm like, Jesus, lady. Like... Slow your roll, pump the brakes.
Lady.
Yeah, come on. Well, I mean, no, but this is the dynamic of me and you, though. Like, you like to talk. I don't like to talk. Mm-hmm. I talk when spoken to. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you guys all make fun of me that people always go up and talk to me.
They do.
And I try to walk around like this resting bitch face just so people don't talk to me, but it don't work. And people just come up and like, oh, hey, how are you? Like, me going to the grocery store and checking out, and the lady wants to start, that's the checker, wants to start talking to me, it's like, I hate it. Yeah, I'm like, oh, please don't talk to me, please. And then, yeah, I'm doing great. How was your day? Oh, that, blah, 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 blah. But then again, you meet some beautiful people, have beautiful conversation, you do it. Mm-hmm. I just like to live my little bubble, and that's it.
Yeah, I know. But you do a good job of breaking out of your bubble, too. Because I know you really do care.
I do. I do care about everybody.
I know you do. Almost too much, probably. Yep. Maybe that's why. Right?
It's a fault, yeah.
Yeah. You're definitely a protector of people. And I think people get that when they see you, which is why they want to be around you, is that you really are hard on the outside, but soft on the inside.
I grunt a lot.
That's you do. In the mornings. I told him the other morning, I was like, I'm just going to grunt at you for a whole day and see.
It might be a perfect conversation.
Perfect.
Yep.
But we do have really great conversations. Mm-hmm. So for anyone who's looking for the right human, or for anybody who's in relationship, what I've learned from Jimmy is that it's never going to be perfect. We're not perfect. I did not marry you to change you. I love you and choose you exactly as you are, for who you are, and with your money, which we're going to roll into that in the next next part of the show is is talking about how we work, because we do work.
No, you take care of the money. I work and you take care of the money.
I work too.
I mean, you work. Like, I go to work and then you take care of the money.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. Next thing I know, like, a notary's at the house. I'm like, hey, babe, the notary's here for her business, whatever. She goes, oh, refinanced the house. Oh, babe, sign this. I'm like, wait, what? Well, yeah, we're refinancing the house. I'm like, oh, okay, sign here.
But we refinanced it from like a 4% interest rate.
No, I'm not arguing, but I had no idea what was going on. That's right. The point of this. Like, there's a notary at the house. I'm just thinking something for your business. And then it's the whole, you got to sign here.
Here's the thing, though. In my first marriage, that level of trust was not there. Yeah. So my ex-husband didn't want to be involved in the finances, but also would like make me wrong every time I'd make a decision. Oh, no. Or it was like a tug of war. And for you, you didn't have that trust, that level of trust in your first marriage.
Oh, no.
You didn't like.
No, we didn't have joint accounts. I think we barely got joint accounts. We were together. I can't remember how long we were married for, but we were together like 12 years or something like that. But yeah, we never had joint accounts like the last couple of years of our marriage.
Yeah. So there was a lot of control.
Mm-hmm. No, it was all control for me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When did that shift, the controlling part or your nature?
After going through those emotional intelligence classes.
Yeah.
Getting rid of all the control. I didn't need to control it.
Yeah. And going back to church.
If I didn't go through, well, I don't know if you got enough time. If I never went through those.
You have 1 minute.
Yeah. Till next time. Where you can have time.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Well, if I never went through those emotional intelligence classes, I'd never been open enough to go to church. Mm-hmm. And if I would have stepped foot into those emotional intelligence classes and they were talking about God, I would have walked out and left. Mm-hmm. I was the guy that used to walk around, drive around, give the church the bird.
Yeah.
So that's how closed off I was. And there's a lot of stuff behind the reason of why that was. But, you know, that's what made me realize to let go of everything, because I'm not in control. And then after going to church and realizing that God is actually the one in control, that there's nothing I can't control. Mm-hmm. So just roll with the punches instead of trying to stop the punches, just roll with the punches.
Mm, I love that. I love that, because you can never stop them. No. I mean, speaking of stopping, that's a great time for us to take a break. Good job, Jimmy. Good job. Okay, we're going to take a 2-minute break.
Sorry, Jimmy.
Yeah, babe.
All right. Yeah, that's weird.
I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry.
We're going to take a 2-minute break, and I'm so grateful that you're listening to us wherever you're listening to us. Part of real money is having real conversations that can be awkward or funny or in the moment with your husband singing. And we're just so grateful you're here. I'm Lisa Chastain. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes on Real Money.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
Not enough women are talking about money, and I am on a mission to change that. The truth is, so many women feel shame and guilt about the choices they are making financially. And if this is you, I want you to hear today that you are not alone. We are so capable of feeling confident about the choices we are making with our money. The problem is that for so many women, money isn't relatable. Industry experts are talking over your head, and this show is the perfect place for you to improve your confidence and relationship with money. With Real Money, I share real stories of women who are tackling their most difficult financial challenges. We are here to help you hear and understand that you are not alone in feeling lost or confused about your finances, so that you can build your confidence to learn how to make the right choices today. With Real Money, you're going to learn from other women how they tackle their biggest money challenges, so that you can get out there and start creating the stability, freedom, clarity, and fun you've always wanted. Join me, Lisa Chastain, each week as we talk about real money with real women for real life.
Voice America programs are now available on your favorite connected device, including Amazon, Alexa, and Google Home. Through streams with Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio, listening to your favorite show is as easy as saying the show name followed by the word podcast.
Hey, Alexa, play Finding Your Frequency podcast.
If that doesn't work, try adding on TuneIn or on iHeartRadio or on Apple Podcasts.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Real Money with Lisa Chastain on the Voice America Business Channel. If you have a question for Lisa or her guests, you can call into the show at 866-472-5789. That's 866-472-5789. You can also send an email to Lisa at lisachastain.com. Now, let's get back to the show. Here is Lisa Chastain.
Lisa Chastain and Jimmy Lopez. My significant other, husband, love of my life. It's funny, when it finally tickled my brain that you were actually interested in me, I was like, there's no way. Like, I didn't think in any way, shape, or form that I would be your type at all. You're like, go ahead.
Well, I don't know. That's maybe my confidence too. I mean, you're obviously hot and you're tiny. And so I look like Shrek in every one of our pictures. So it just, I don't know, being a guy, like you see a guy with a hot chick and he kind of looks like me, not trying to like body shame me or nothing like that. But like the guys look at him, give him like the head nod, like, good job. You know what I mean? Like, I get that all the time when we walk around.
Yeah.
Like, how does that even happen? Like, well, it ain't money.
Because you're a good guy.
Okay.
I was looking for a good guy.
I got one.
I have a lot of people that'll come up to me and tell me that like so-and-so was crushing on you, or someone wanted when you were single, like all these women will come and tell me how like they had friends that wanted to be with you.
And where were they? Why didn't they come talk to me at the time?
Well, they're because you were waiting for me.
Well, that's very true.
Mm-hmm.
I was running through them, but yeah.
Tune in next time for conversations of Jimmy's dating life.
Delilah.
Oh my gosh. Delilah. I do. Yeah. I do. She's still around.
Is she really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. So let's talk money. Let's talk money.
I don't have any. I'm married. You're a financial coach.
See what money.
Let that sink in, guys.
When we got together, we weren't commingling money, but then we got married.
Yes.
And what was that like for you to give me the reins?
I remember you asked me, you're like, so, and I think we were by ourselves even. It was like you intended to have this conversation, like a heart to heart almost. You're like, so what would you think if I took over our checking account, the checking account, we don't combine whatever you call that, combine our money. I looked at him like, okay. It's like me, you, it'd be like me, you trying to tell me how to like build stuff.
Yeah.
It just, yeah, it's what you do for a living.
Yeah.
You're good at it. So, okay.
That's a struggle for a lot of couples.
Well, they shouldn't let it. I mean, I don't know. But growing up, going through all the training I've done, like that, there's a big reason why my marriage failed the first time, the trying to control and everything like that. So, and trying to be right and doing, just being right. Like the analogy of every time you take an axe to a tree, eventually the tree's going to fall. You know what I mean? So every time you try to prove somebody wrong, but me want to be right, you take it, you hit the tree with an axe. Well, when the tree finally falls over, I'm standing there like, what the hell happened? Poor me. My wife just left me. But look, really, I need to look at myself. And that's what happened when I went through all the classes and all that. That I looked at myself and realized that nothing in my life is worth being right about with you. And that's how I use this in the marriage now, where I learned from my mistakes. And the first one is, I'd rather be wrong all day long. Mm-hmm. And has nothing to do with being right. I could sit there and say things that I know I'm right at with you, but what's that going to do? Mm-hmm. It's not worth being right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel the same way. Mm. I let things go. We're both very strong.
Yes.
Personalities, strong people.
And you did say you're hard-headed.
I did. Yes. And I said I was stubborn.
Oh, yeah, stubborn.
Is that the same thing as hard-headed?
I think so.
Yeah, okay. Probably. But then, you know, couples are trying to figure out the world of money. And one of the things that we talk about in our world, meeting with couples in particular, is to say let one person drive the bus and know the systems, set up systems, be on the same page, and we'll share what those are for us. And then the other person supports the system. And that takes a lot of trust, and that's really hard for a lot of couples. But I think it's necessary.
It works for us. It does. I mean, again, I don't know what you're doing. I go to work, the check gets deposited, whatever, direct deposit. So I don't know what happens to it. And you always try to sit down and explain it to me. It's a spreadsheet, and I don't do good with spreadsheets. So I'm like, okay, we go on. But it is trust, and I trust you with everything. So why would I even worry about it? Look, if you're going to break the bank with me, steal my money, I think you would have done it already. So
it happens, unfortunately.
Absolutely, it does.
So there is blind trust, and then there's also just saying, okay, this is probably going to be good for us. And so we do have systems in place, and mm-hmm. one of those systems are different accounts. Mm-hmm. Was that hard for you to transition to having different accounts for different things?
I mean, I wouldn't say it was hard. Just getting used to it. I mean, you just, you know, I'm dumb. I've always had one card to do this, and you just break it up. Nah, it works.
It does work. So we have an eagle card because it's actually got an eagle on it.
Yes, America.
And that's our household checking account. Like, that's where we have our debit card. So we put money in there every week. And that's for groceries and gas and Fausto's, eating out when we want to do that. Mm-hmm. And then you have your own card.
My allowance, as I call it. Grown ass man getting an allowance.
He does have an allowance. So $200 a week.
Yep.
And that works too.
Oh, it's great.
How do you really feel about it, babe?
I love it.
No, come on.
No, look, babe, you know better than anybody. I would buy dumb shit all the time. If I was able to get anything, I'd have guns, new guns and ammo at the house every day. So, yeah. And tools and yeah. So I always ask Lisa when she is like, it's funny, like we'll get a check from like
IRS or something.
The IRS for like, hey, you got a refund of like $28. And Lisa goes, hey, we got a refund for $20. I'm like, can I buy a gun? And she always tells me no. I mean, she said yes a couple, two, three times, but
I did.
Married, but yeah.
I do. I say yes.
But I know there's going to be an end game, and there'll be an end time when it's all, we're debt free and all that stuff. Then I can go buy dumb stuff again.
Mm-hmm. But yeah.
The day will come.
Yeah. We had a big transition this year also. So what I like about the systems, I have a question for you because I've never asked you this. Like, do you stress about money ever?
Now?
Mm-hmm.
No, because you got to figure it out. I hope.
I do.
I mean, like, literally, if I came home and said, you said, okay, we're losing the house or something, there'd be some questions, but okay, what happened? Mm-hmm. But like, okay, let's move forward. Mm-hmm. You know, if you said, hey, I screwed up and I lost all the money on crypto or whatever, but like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, why? But I guess we got to find an apartment or something, but I don't think that's ever going to happen. But
no.
Yeah.
No, I have. We have priorities. One of the things that we're working hard towards. So just some tips for couples. And if you have questions, I mean, Jimmy can answer questions. You can email me at lisa@lisachastain.com. And I think this would be a valuable conversation to continue on the show if couples want to hear more about how we would recommend certain things work. But what works for us is the system. So we have different, you know, money for different spending. And for Jimmy, who's the supporter in the relationship for the finances, you know when we have money and when we don't have money.
Yeah.
And
it's never, we don't have money.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's never like we're broke, but it's like,
okay, well, this is gonna, we're down to $20 and no more stupid shit. No more Amazon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jimmy, so we do the money types, and you haven't ever, did you ever take the money type quiz?
I don't know. You've had me take 1,000 different quizzes. I have. New quiz, new year, whatever. I don't know.
But he's definitely a spendthrift. So what I tell my friend, like my clients, is that with spendthrifts, you can't change them. So me trying to tell you that you can't spend money.
I'll spend it just to prove you wrong.
That's right.
Like, you know, watch this.
Yeah. And a lot of couples do that though.
Yeah. No.
One tries to control the other and not spend money. And so
and you hate spending money.
I don't.
What? Yeah. Yeah. One time she had like Dell computers for like, we were always dating. Like, I think when we were dating, and it was a very short dating for us, it was like 3 months. But I think like 2 years into the marriage, she kept, I think pre COVID, like she kept going through Dell's like once
Chromebooks,
whatever.
$250 Chromebooks.
Yeah. Yeah. Kept going through them. Like once a year, she needed a new one. I'm like, why don't you buy a Mac? And I'm not a computer guy, but I've heard great things about Mac. They don't get viruses, yada, 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 yada. She goes, okay, so buy me one. I'm like, okay. I get on Amazon, swipe.com. Here we go. I'm like, how's this one? She goes, okay. And I buy it.
Yeah.
And she looked at me because it was like $1,200 or whatever it was. And I'm like, okay, it's done. So I had to, she wanted it. She'd want to spend it. So I had to buy it.
That's right.
And it was done.
That's right.
And now she's got, you get a Mac. You get a Mac.
Now I have one at home, one in the office. But you helped me break out of that scarcity. So I'm not a cheap chip. When I'm in my lane, I'm actually a delusional Delilah, and definitely we both are over generous. Like we're both very generous. So a lot of our money goes to church and other people. And for you, even more, even though you do spend on yourself, you spend a lot on the boys and other people.
Yes.
That's a part of, I think, why we work too, is that we both are committed to being generous. But I grew up very, like my parents were like very mindful. Maybe you've heard them even. My mom makes comments all the time about like saving money and how we didn't have money growing up. And so spending money was very scary. And then after my divorce, for sure, like being in a relationship where I was beat up all the time about, not physically beat up, but mentally beat up all the time about the choices I was making. And then with him being an alcoholic, money was never, like I couldn't keep money ever around. So the fear comes from like not having it and making sure I like want to make sure we always have it, and that I do want you to trust me. And that's part of it too. Like I always want to make sure that we have money.
Yeah.
You know? So that's important to me. So that's why I get fearful or scared, because I'm just always thinking about the bigger picture too.
Yeah.
And the bigger picture, I want you to retire.
Good luck with that one.
Well, I want you to have the option at some point to do that. So I really want to make sure that we're planning our money. So for couples, you know, listening to this and thinking about your own journey with money, there's no wrong or right way. And like, I love the fact that Jimmy's more like spendy, because we just booked a trip to Alaska and I don't know that we would have done that if it was just me at the control. But you're like, babe, we got to go. Yeah. We're going to do this. And it's scary for me. Like, oh my gosh, it's a lot of money. How are we going to make it work? But your trust in me, and then also just you're more fluid, I guess, or trusting that it's all going to work out.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
I know.
Yeah, but we both make a good living for ourselves. We work hard for our money. We have to enjoy it. And spending your money on moments instead of material things, I think is a big thing for everybody. Like, we even talked about this, instead of for Christmas, instead of getting the boys presents and all that, you know, I don't want to call it dumb stuff, but it literally is material stuff. Even the Bible even talks about, you know, don't, what I can't remember, I have to find that the verse or whatever, but I think it's in Matthew, but invest in the things that will rot and get eaten by moths or something like that, or rust. Make it about the memories and not about the material things. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to Alaska. The memories we'll have, the boys will have, you know what I mean? And we'll have. So, because eventually they're going to be old and get the hell out eventually sooner than later.
Hopefully.
But
yeah,
please, Lord. But yeah, no, it's all about memories.
It is. And this year, really, like this last year, especially.
Yeah, it's been a rough year in the house.
We went through a big transition so when we were dating and newly married, our boys went to their other parents' house. So Range would go for a week
That week on, week off. Weekend, yeah.
And then Connor would go like every other weekend or whatever. Yeah. So we had breaks, which was actually really nice. Thank you. To get to know each other and fall in love and all of that. And then in the same year, within 4 months of each other, we have the boys full time now.
Yep.
And they're expensive.
And they stink.
And they stink.
Gosh, they stink so bad.
They do. We've had to net.
Like, so you could chew the air in the rooms, I swear. Like, it's so gamey.
So gamey, I know. But that's been a big transition financially, too. I've experienced that. Like, the money goes a lot faster. And I always wanted the boys full time. Like, to not have Connor full time, and I know for a long time you did have.
Yes.
That's actually a good thing to talk through. What was it like being a single dad? I mean, off and on. Well, for a long time, actually, right?
It would go months at a time that he wouldn't see his mom at first. Like, and he was little. He was probably 3 or 4 when we got separated or whatever. And there was, I remember once it was like 3 months until she seen Range or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But thank God for my mom. I mean, really, between my mom and her, you know, my ex-in-laws, Range's grandma, and that my neighbors at Dion's, you know what I mean? Like, I would take Range because I was working construction. You know, I'd take Range to my mom's at 4 o'clock in the morning, drop him off. She'd take him to school. Then I'd get off in time, hopefully, to pick him up for school. Or she'd pick him up. And I'd pick him up from his house, you know, my mom's house. But I couldn't have done it without my mom. Mm-hmm. That's 100% truth. Like, it was, she was helping me raise my son.
Yeah. He's made comments before that he's like his second mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, I'd pick him up, come home, and, you know, we'd start dinner. Then we'd hang out, watch cartoons or whatever, watch TV. Then we'd go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Rinse and repeat.
Nope.
Yeah. Financially, you were always, you honored your commitment to, like, you always paid child support.
Yes.
So what was that like financially? Raising Range as a single dad, did you ever feel like there wasn't enough money, or did you always just make it work?
Just always made it work.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's taking on credit card debt and all that stuff, I mean, just always made it work. Yeah. You have to, as a parent, you don't have a choice to, I don't know, for me, failure is not an option. You know what I mean? Like, none of us are perfect, but we can strive for perfection. So I can't fail. And if I do, there's something I seriously need to learn.
Yeah.
Not that I don't fail, but I don't like to fail.
Yeah.
So you just made it work.
Yeah. You did.
Yep.
Been in that house 20 years now.
Something 20 something years.
20 something years. Great neighborhood.
Yep. Love the neighborhood.
Me too. Shout out to our Paradise Hills friends.
What?
So being a single parent for me was a credit card shuffle. And what I like about this show too is that we're not trying to be perfect and say we got all of our shit. Like, we still have credit card debt. And even as a money coach, I think that's, some people would be like, oh my gosh, what is she doing sharing that? It's like, well, that's the journey, especially as parents. Like, we want to give our kids the best life possible. We want to give them what we can. And sometimes that means we're just going to have to shuffle things.
Yep.
Or not have certain things that we want that our kids can have them, have what it is that they want. But yeah.
Freedom. Guns and freedom. Yep.
Guns and freedom. But then also, like, for me last year, what was hard was navigating the emotional piece of what our boys were going through.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like that's where a lot of our money went too, was making sure that they had what they needed. And that they had what they wanted, and that they could feel like we were gonna definitely take care of them no matter what, you know.
I know that they know that we're secure,
mm-hmm.
and not only like financially, but I think just, I mean, honestly, they, like, people have said about Range, they've said about Con, they're just happy, they're mm-hmm. happy kids, and to see that, especially for what Range and Connor have both been through, like, it's heartbreaking what they've been through, and to see that they're happy again, they're smiling and all that, is the world to me. And it just tells me that we're doing a good job.
Yeah.
So even though I want to kill them, but yeah.
Yeah. What parent doesn't?
Yeah. True.
Every now and then do that. It would never happen. Just so you know, that was on the radio. It would never happen, but what do you, okay. So we have probably less than 10 minutes on the show left. And you are very active at church, mm-hmm. and people seek you for guidance. I don't always get to see those moments. Mm-hmm. I very rarely do. But what are young men asking for support these like right now? What are some words of wisdom that you can give for men who are navigating relationship and money today?
Should have told me this before. I would have kind of thought about it.
Sorry.
Relationships and money. I think life is about relationships. No matter what kind of relationship it is, to me and Lisa being in a relationship as being a husband and a wife, or me and Cashley, we're in a relationship as friends, or people at church, friends at church, we're all in a relationship no matter what. And we all have a relationship with ourselves and our wives and with God. And some are going to go great. Some are going to go hard, and it's okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay to just say, hey, this relationship didn't work. It's okay to say, hey, I love you, but I need to walk away from you. I've had a fortune to have beautiful friends in my life, and I still have beautiful friends in my life. There's some friends that I had to just walk away from. Not that I love them less, but it just wasn't going down the right path for me at the time. But I could call them today and they'd give me the shirt out their back and I'd do the same for them. Money-wise, it's not worth arguing about. It's not worth... I mean, sometimes I see stuff in the account and I start getting in my head, like, what was that for? I'm like, shut up, stupid. Like, it's none of your business. Not that it's not my business, but she's got it. Why are you even worried about it? Quit trying to control it. Like, it's going to happen. Like, yeah, I don't know. Does that answer it?
I think that's helpful.
Okay.
I know we've had conversations about guys in construction in particular.
Yes.
Because it's great that you get paid weekly.
Yes.
And it's also not so great sometimes that you get paid weekly, but you've always made it work financially. You've always been responsible and, you know, sometimes gone in debt, whatever. But what are some things that you might recommend or say to someone who's like financially going through it right now?
Save as much as you can when you can. I mean, when it's good, especially in construction, you know what I mean? Like when it's booming, we're getting overtime, bank your money. Mm-hmm. And then because at times, I mean, during the recession in 08 and all that stuff, I almost lost my house. Mm-hmm. And it was close. I mean, we were working maybe 20 hours a week, sometimes weeks. It was crazy, but we made it through it.
Yeah.
I mean, just you'll make it through it. No matter what you're going through, you're going to make it through it. The devil's always going to tell you that you can't do it. You can't do it. You can't make it through this storm. But you need to be able to whisper back in the devil's ear and say, no, I am the storm. Mm. So watch out because I'm going to come through this like a mother. Yeah. And I'll make it through it. Yeah. We have to get through the storm to get to the season of calm. So.
Right. I love that. Okay. I love that about you.
I love you too.
I think those are some great nuggets, is that you can make it through.
Yes.
And that no matter what you're going through financially, no matter what you're going through in your life, there's dark times. You and I have been through some dark times.
Yes.
And together we've navigated it.
Yep.
And also for men, I just want you to hear that you're not alone.
No.
And I love that about you so much, that people can come to you and confide in you, but you got to find somebody to talk to.
Yes. And men, as men, I'm a huge one, except the guy that says they don't like to talk. But as men, we were taught that we don't cry. We don't show our emotions. We got to be tough. We got to do that. So, well, that's all bullshit. Throw all that stuff out the door. That doesn't matter. You got to be able to talk. And I was a product years ago of a guy that didn't talk to nobody. I was a fucking pressure cooker. That was way to explode. And then I'd explode on the wrong person because they cut me off or something like that. So that don't work.
Yeah.
You have to be able to talk to somebody, whether it's talking to God, talking to your spouse, talking to your friends. You got to be able to talk to people.
Yeah. Yeah. And money is one of those things that people don't want to talk about, no, but it's really important.
Because it's embarrassing. If you're broke and you make $100,000 a year or whatever, and you're broke. Well, it's not that you don't have a money issue. You probably have a spending issue.
Yeah. Buying ammo and guns and
America and freedom. Yes. When zombies come. Go ahead and throw a dollar bill at him.
That's babe, I know you got us.
All right.
So does Connor. He says it often. I know Jimmy's got us in a zombie apocalypse. We'll be fine. Anyway, well, with 2 minutes to close, you've shared a lot of your heart today. Is there anything else that you want the listeners to hear?
No, you already made me talk too much.
Okay.
I don't Thank know. You. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm grateful that you came. Everyone, my husband.
Yes.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this, just, you know, a day before Valentine's Day, also our belief, Jimmy and I's belief, is that it's just a day.
Yep.
It's just a day. And if you're going crazy thinking that you have to buy certain things or be a certain way financially for the person that you love, at the end of the day, know their love language. We talk about that. Know what matters to them and realize that the money is, it's really not as important as the words and who you're being for each other and the memories. We're working on that actively in our household.
You don't need a day to celebrate your loved one. It doesn't, a day doesn't tell you what day. What did Beth Dutton said at the best on Yellowstone? She said, what was it? You don't need a special day to bring flowers. You can be flowers any day.
That's right.
Something like that. But yeah.
Yeah.
A little love note, a little flower, a little thing that I got. That really wasn't for Valentine's Day. I just seen it and I really liked it.
Yeah.
But it just kind of fell on Valentine's Day. So it kind of worked out perfect. Yeah.
It's perfect. Yes. Thank you. I love it. Yeah. If you want to see it, you can see it on the YouTube channel. We'll have the show up soon. Thank you everyone for joining us on this special Love and Money edition of Real Money. Thank you for spending time with me and my husband, Jimmy. What were you going to say, babe?
Sup.
All these things that he's been wanting to say for so long, he's gotten to. Let us know what you thought of the show. Shout us out on social media, Savvy Money with Lisa. You can send me an email with questions, and we will be back next week with a new topic, new guest on Real Money. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for listening to Real Money with Lisa Chastain on the Voice America Business Channel. Miss the opportunity to call in but have a question for Lisa regarding one of today's topics? You can send an email to Lisa at lisachastain.com. We will see you next time.